The title of today's message is Lessons Learned from Last Year's Pancake Tent. Lessons learned from last year's pancake tent. I want to go back to the year of about 2006 or 7, and there was a conversation that happened at the glass double doors as you leave the church. Pauline Osborne, which was his grandma's, or Brian Freer's grandmother, she has since passed. She was from the Treadwell Church. Short conversation, and she said, you know what? The Treadwell Church has decided it's time to give up the pancake tent. They had done it for 40-some years. And she said, would we as a church consider and want to take it over? We had never done anything like this. We talked about it, prayed about it, thought about it. But in the end, we said, yes, we'll do it. So the first year, I believe it was in 2007, we did a joint tent between Treadwell and us. And they taught us many good things of how to operate a tent. The next year, then beginning in 2008, we did it on our own. We had a couple rough years trying to figure it out. Gary Tweedy, who was then on the board, and he may have been the point person, I remember his voice. He says, you got to get the food out. You got to get the food out. And so there were marching orders for us as a church to execute a pancake tent on the fairgrounds that would feed people in a timely manner. This year, 2023, is our 15th year of doing it. We've been at this thing 15 years. Each year, I learn something personal, so I'm sure do you. And we try and better it the coming year. So a verse I want to share in your notes is Colossians 4:17 is this. See to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. There are some things in life that fall into our laps. It could be in your individual life or the life of the church. And so as we think about this year's tent, I wanted to share a message of two truths I learned from last year. There were bumpy times last year of shortage of staff on certain shifts. There are times where maybe we didn't have the right supplies, and there's stress and frustration at times associated with it. Everybody understands this. But here's the marching orders in which Paul says, see to it you complete the work you have received in the Lord. And what I want to do this morning is share with you two truths that I landed on after last year's experience. And let me just be very candid and vulnerable. One of the things I learned last year was I needed to do a better job to prepare us as a people before we go down there. What does that mean? It's a way to shape our hearts, our thinking, our mindset before we even get down there. And so today and in the coming weeks, I'm going to be sharing some focused messages on the mission part of why we go there. And so today, I want to share with you just two thoughts, two truths of what I learned last year that I think we can apply to this year. And if you have your sermon listening guide, let's jump in and get started. Number one. The first truth I landed on, the first big one is this. Not every assignment from God is an easy one. Now, let me explain that. You might be here this morning, and in your personal life, you are in a hard season. You're doing your best to serve God. You're doing the best that you can in life, and it's a hard season. And we somehow think that when we become a believer, life should be somewhat cushy or soft because of God's protection. And there are seasons in which life does seem to go very well. There are other times where it can be very difficult, whether it's as an individual or as a church family. But here's what I learned. Not every assignment, including a pancake tent, is an easy one. I want to give you three examples from the scriptures of people who were on assignment with God, but it was not easy. All right, letter A in your notes. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Here's the first big example. She traveled 90 miles on foot or on a donkey while 9 months pregnant. Now, we know the story we find in Luke chapter 2, in which Caesar Augustus issued a decree. And he says there needs to be a census. So people that were of a certain lineage had to go to a certain town to register, which meant Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. And they're in Nazareth now. It's a 90-mile journey. Now, if you've given birth, the last thing you want to do when you're 9 months pregnant is to walk or ride on a donkey 90 miles. I mean, here's Mary leaving the comforts of her home, and she literally is going to Bethlehem. Here's why. The Old Testament prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But she's 9 months pregnant. God, this is bad timing. But not every assignment God drops into our life is an easy one. So moms, if you've been through that journey of pregnancy and birth, 9 months, you're ready to deliver. You want it all lined up, the closest hospital. You want to be trouble-free. You just want it all come together. And Mary is now taking a 90-mile journey. Read with me Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 in your notes. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he to the house and the line. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. 9 months pregnant, and she has to go 90 miles. Not every assignment from God's an easy one. Example number two. The children of Israel left Egypt at night. Read with me in verses 29 and 30 in your notes. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night. And there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. Let's read verse 31. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go and worship the Lord as you have requested." And finally, let's read the last line. He brought you out of Egypt by night. Let me give you the backdrop. This is the 10th plague upon the land of Egypt, God's judgment. The children of Israel had been there 430 years. And God was about to deliver them. And here's what he instructed the Israelites to do. Take a lamb, the blood from it, and apply it to the doorposts of your house. And when God went through the land of Egypt, when he saw the blood, he saw a covering, and he passed over the loss of life in that home. No one died. But when he came to a home, there was no blood applied. The firstborn died. Not only human beings, but livestock and prisoners as well. There was great wailing throughout Egypt because of the death that literally entered the land at that time. Pharaoh summons Moses and Aaron. He says, "Hey, I want you to leave. Get out. Just leave because of what they were experiencing." And we find here that the people of Israel left at night. Now, if you have young kids, and you're trying to get them to school by 8 in the morning, or you try and get them up for church, it can be a chore to round everybody up. And some people love to sleep in to maybe 10 o'clock and have coffee, and then they leave at noon, and the sun is shining, and life is good. In this story, listen, they left at night. Not only were they were leaving for good, taking with them their possessions, and it all happened under the cover of darkness. Let me tell you, not every assignment from God is an easy one. They left at night, it was uncomfortable, kids to round up, things to pack, but they had to do it at night. I do want to share also, you know, when they applied the blood to the doorpost of their homes, God passed over. When we by faith apply the blood of Christ to our heart, our doorframe of our heart, God sees us and he passes over. We have passed from judgment to life. Our lives are not perfect. But because of the blood of Christ, he views us differently. We're his son or his daughter. And so we find in this story, that's what happened. They were emancipated and set free to leave and to find a new life. So, example two, they left at night and it had to be a pretty difficult departure. Example number three in your notes. The workers who rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem carried materials in one hand and a weapon in another. This is when the walls were rebuilt around Jerusalem, and in 52 days, they accomplished this task. But I want us to read together verse 16 in your notes. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword on his side as he worked. Get the picture. They're building or rebuilding the walls, and there is such opposition by the enemy to them doing this that it required they had a sword available in the event that the enemy attacked. And so the people who carried materials had materials in one hand and a sword in the other. Can you imagine? When we built the pavilion, we pretty much carried materials. We didn't have to have a sword just in case somebody attacked us because they didn't like what we're doing. These people had to do both at the same time. You see, not every assignment God gives us is an easy one. And we find that these people persevered through that. Now, I've got some slides I want to show you. Here's the first one. All roads that lead to success have passed through the hard work boulevard, have to pass through the hard work boulevard at some point. You may be here this morning and you are traveling Hard Work Boulevard. All roads that are lead to success or something good go through a place requiring hard work. Here's the way Paul put it. Here's a verse I'll share. Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me stop there. Are you in the middle of a hard time in your life? Not every assignment God gives us is easy. The word endure there means to suffer or to struggle. It means you share hardships together. And so we find here that Paul is saying, listen, there's going to be tough times in life. You have to endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When I thought about the pancake tent, it's about a 12-day deal from setup to teardown. And it can be stressful. It can be hard. It can be uncomfortable. It can seem unfair because a certain few may be carrying the load when there's other people that could be there that are not. And yet, I want us to understand, not every assignment God gives us as a church or as an individual is easy. And Paul says, we have to endure that hardness by being a good soldier and just continuing the work that God gives us to complete. So point number one, my big insight after processing last year and the struggles we had, not everything is easy. And I want to tell you this, this year won't be any different. We'll try and improve what we can. We'll try and get as many people lined up for each shift as we can. We're working up to the very end to pull that off. But I just want to tell you, there's going to be stress points. I've been a part of it for 15 years, plus the time with Treadwell. 16 or 15 will be this year. And I realized there's going to be stress points. It's part of the territory because not every assignment God gives us is an easy one. All right. Now I want to tell you about the second point. The big insight that I discovered that helped me understand the significance of being on mission with God. And here it is. The payoff of being engaged in God's mission is more powerful than the struggle I have to endure. In other words, once I pay the price of hard work, once I deal with the struggle, once I somehow negotiate that, there's a payoff. There's a reward. There's a sense of blessing that comes when you get to the other side of it. Everybody here gets that. When you've been through a hard season in life and you find a little relief, there's a sense of joy that you made it through, even though it was hard and very stressful. Now, I want to go back to the three examples I gave you earlier. Imagine Mary. She's now in Bethlehem, 9 months pregnant. Sure enough, the baby comes. And it says here that she gave birth to a son. Now, here's how it works. Moms, if you've had a baby and you've had a hard labor, when you hold the young son or the daughter in your hands and you see this new life, here's what happens. Somehow, the joy of being on the other side of it eclipses the struggle you had to go through to get there. I think that's what happened with Mary. She did 90 miles, 9 months pregnant. I don't know what her attitude was, but I think it was challenged. But once the child came and she held her firstborn son, it somehow became more powerful than the struggle she had getting to that place. Now, not only was he the firstborn, but he's the Savior, the Son of God for the entire world. I think there was great joy in her life, despite the fact that for that last long journey of 90 miles, it had to be very difficult. Let her be. The children of Israel, they were in Egypt for 430 years. And this generation had the privilege of being the group of people that left and were emancipated in a miraculous way. You know what happens when you're part of a miracle? It becomes a part of you. And you can tell and retell the story. There's people here today as we've journeyed through this church and when we bought the property and how God came through, and we can tell and retell the stories of God's provision. It changes us. This group of people had that privilege of saying, you know what? I left under the cover of darkness. Kind of odd timing, but God was glorified and we were set free by virtue of God liberating us and through Moses. So they had the privilege, the payoff of being able to tell and retell that story. And number three, the third example, the wall that was rebuilt, the people, they labored for 52 days, and here's what happened. It says, when all of our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were lost, and they lost their self-confidence because they realized this work had been done with the help of our God. Let me stop right there. People are watching your life. And whatever you are going through today, they're watching. And when you get to the other side and they watch your life, they will see God at work in a way that you could not do yourself. People are watching you. And so when we endure the hardness, the tough parts, let me tell you, we get to the other side, we give glory to God, and people see something different in us because of our faith. In Hebrews 8:10, it says, "The day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Let me stop there. Joy is a reward which is amplified after we go through a hard season in life. And the joy is something that only comes when you go through the struggle. And when we think of the tent, you know, there's great relief when we tear down and we come back and put it back in the church and we're all exhausted and we sigh a breath of relief. And there's something satisfying being on mission with God to do something to serve him at a Delaware County Fair in a way that will honor him. Here's a couple slides. Here's the first one. There will always be a reward for hard work. Whether it's in your individual life, you're dealing with something, there's a reward waiting for you. Or a pancake tent, there's a reward waiting. Here's another one. It is the thing we work hardest for that will reward us the most. In other words, when you give yourself fully to an assignment that you feel like God wants you to fulfill, your reward is going to show up in a powerful way. Here's another quote. I like this one. Will it be easy? Nope. Will it be worth it? Absolutely. One last slide. Here it is. God rewards the hardworking in his house. I want to tell you what my reward was last year. The fair was over, and I went to the bank, and there were a couple of tellers behind the counter, and for the sake of conversation, I said, "Well, did you go to the fair this year?" And both of them said they're not really fair people. They really don't care for it, but they both said this. While they neither went much to the fair, they said this, "But I did go to the pancake tent." And I got to tell you, folks, that was my payoff. They went to the pancake tent. And I realized there's an amazing privilege we have as a church family to be a presence on the fairground. No other church does at this point. We are incredibly blessed. We are God's representatives on the fairground, his tent, his presence. We serve pancakes, but we serve people. And I realized when they said that, there's almost an expectation in the community. I don't go to the fair much, but I did go to the pancake tent. And I want to say to you, the church family, two things. It's going to be a hard week. It's going to be hard. There's going to be stress points. I mean, we can do the best we can to plan, but there's going to be tough times during that 11-day period. But you know what the second thing is? And this is what put me over the edge, put me over the top. There's a payoff. There's a payoff. That the privilege of being there is the prize. We don't have to be there. We get to be there. And church family, I want you to know, once I landed and processed these two points, and I thought them through, and I struggled after last year's fair with this didn't go right, that didn't go right. But when I landed on this last point, I want you to know regarding the fair, I'm all in. I'm all in. I hope as a church family we're all in too. You know why? There's a prize. There's a prize that is won when a group of people pay the price, the struggle, the tension, the stress to get to the other side. They said, we don't go to the pancake tent, or we don't go to the fair much, but we did go to the pancake tent. Folks, I think this can be a great year, but I want us to be prepared. It's going to be hard work. And I realize this year will be no different. It really won't. Neither will next year or the year after. We'll do the best we can to get better, but here's the big deal. The payoff, the prize, is being on mission with God himself at a fair, no less, to be his voice, to be his presence, his love, to speak to people a message of hope when that door opens, that through the grace of God, they can find Christ in their life. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to share another one or two messages on how we can be prepared as a people to get down there. But as I close here, I just want us to understand two things. It's going to be hard. You know why? Not every assignment God gives to us is easy. I'm okay with that. Number two, I'm in it for the prize. I hope you are too. Privilege. It's a privilege to do what we get to do on the fairgrounds. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you reward the hardworking people in your house. Thank you for this amazing group of people that put their shoulder to the plow. They put their shoulder to the load and they're willing to push it forward. And we commit to you the Pancake Tent coming up in August. And I pray that you will take each of us and embrace the reality that not every assignment from you is easy, but the payoff and the reward is priceless. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The privilege of being there is the most satisfying thing. And so we celebrate that today. And so we commit the entire week to you in advance. And pray you'll shape our hearts, prepare our hearts, that we can be your voice, your hands and feet to people that we may never see again, but we can smile and share the grace and the love and the mercy of Christ because you have made us ambassadors for your kingdom. And for this, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.